السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. My dearest brothers and sisters, the great act of worship of Hajj that is to be performed during the upcoming blessed days of Dhul-Hijjah is about glorifying and magnifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and acknowledging His oneness, acknowledging that He alone is the creator, that He alone is a sustainer, that He alone is to be singled out for every single act of devotion that a human being can perform. And another one of the huge ambitions of the Hajj is to not just acknowledge the oneness of Allah, but to acknowledge the oneness of humanity. To acknowledge that we, no matter who we are, rich or poor, black or white, male or female, any way which you can splice and differentiate a human being, to go through Hajj and to recognize that we are essentially all the same before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Hajj, every Muslim is supposed to wear the same style of clothing. In Hajj, every single Hajji is to perform the same acts and rites. And as one was to walk through Hajj, and you were to see different people performing their acts of sa'i, walking and running from Safa and Marwa, to doing any other act in Hajj, that you would, by just seeing the person, by their clothes, by just who they are, you would not be able to know if one was a CEO or one was a janitor, if one was rich and a millionaire or if one was poor. And so we think about this backdrop to what Hajj is all about, and we reflect over what our country, what America is going through. America is a deeply segregated place. Rich people live in rich neighborhoods. Poor people live in poor neighborhoods. Generally, wealthier white Americans live in white neighborhoods, and poor black and other minority Americans live in black and minor and poorer neighborhoods. And the way, unfortunately, that America has been structured, unfortunately, our masjids are also structured in a very similar segregated fashion. And so this time of year, the time of Hajj, these days of Dhul-Hijjah, is a beautiful reminder for us that Islam is and always will be the solution to the deepest problems in a society. At the core of them and the core of this country is the deep problem of racism. SubhanAllah, America is built on racist foundations. We have witnessed the cold-blooded murder of how many black men and women over the last few weeks, the last few months, the last few years, the last few decades and centuries. Whether it was George Floyd, whether it was Breonna Taylor, whether it was Trayvon Martin, we see that the value of a black soul is not the same as a white soul in this country. And the great leader of the American Muslims and the great Hajji, Malcolm X, he spoke about this in detail. And this is what I really want to highlight today, is how Malcolm saw the power of Islam and the power of Hajj to reform a society and to reform the world. And I quote what he said in his letter from Hajj. He said, there were tens of thousands of pilgrims from all over the world. They are of all colors, from blue-eyed blondes to black-skinned Africans. But we were all participating in the same ritual, displaying a spirit of unity and brotherhood that my experience in America had led me to believe never could exist between the white and the non-white. And then he said, America needs to understand Islam because this is the one religion that erases from its society the race problem. But we have to be honest, my dear brothers and sisters. The state of Islam in America and likely in the world today is not a reflection of the beauty of Islam. And in a beautiful study that was done by a team of researchers at Harvard, they actually found that going to Hajj actually does cause a change in seeing other people, being tolerant of other people, and seeing people as equal, which those who didn't go to Hajj will not get that same experience. And so why does it do this? When you go to Hajj, that typically we live in segregated societies, whether it be in a country, whether it be in a neighborhood in this country, we live in segregated pockets. But when you go to Hajj, you interact with, and you see, and you eat a meal with, and you walk next to Muslims who are racially and culturally diverse. And this is what the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he exemplified in his community. That his own adopted son, Zayd ibn Haritha, was a black man who the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he loved deeply. His own second mother, Ayman, was a black woman who he acknowledged as one of the most influential and beloved people in his life. Their child, Usama ibn Zayd, was one of the most beloved companions of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And so the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was very deliberate in not having a racially segregated community. The masjid of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was not like many of the masjids that we deal with today. And again, this is not the fault of American Muslims necessarily, because, like I said, it is the structure of how America is designed that unfortunately has led many of our masajid to being racially segregated. But this has a deep effect, a devastating effect, on seeing one another as servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who are equal. And I want to share with you just one story that I really think captures how the Sahaba were reformed in seeing that blackness or Arabness were all the same. It was not something which was a differentiator of a superiority. And the story is of the great companion Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu. And Ubadah was a young black man who, in this story I'm going to tell, was sent to actually convey Islam and to lead the Muslims in a delegation to Egypt. And they went to meet the ruler of Egypt, Al-Muqawqas. And as they go to meet this ruler, and Ubadah ibn Samit, he enters and is a spokesman of the Muslims. Muqawqas is shocked. A black man is entering upon him, leading the Arab. And before he can even speak, Muqawqas, he begins to say that, why don't you get this black man away from me. Send someone else to speak to me. And the Sahaba, who came from a culture of Arab superiority, just like we have white supremacy in this country today, there was Arab supremacy at the time of the Prophet Muhammad that he was breaking apart. And the Sahaba, they look around, they say, this man, Ubadah, he is one of the best of us. He is one of the wisest of us. And blackness is not something bad from amongst us. And the Sahaba, who just maybe a decade ago had those same beliefs, now, because of how Islam came to reform the way they see race relations, said that this black man was the best of them, was the wisest of them. And this is why the Prophet Muhammad, the last major lecture of his life, the farewell pilgrimage on Arafah, he gets up and he says, there is no superiority of an Arab over a non-Arab, or a non-Arab over an Arab, or a white over a black, or a black over a white. The only thing that distinguishes us, my dear brothers and sisters, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is taqwa, is righteousness, is God consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My closing remarks, my dear brothers and sisters, is for all of us to acknowledge that the air in this country is full of racism. You can choke on it like you choke on pollution. And the same way, if you live in a polluted neighborhood, you can't help but choke on the polluted air. The racism in the air seeps into our homes. It seeps into our masajid. It seeps into our institutions. And we need to be mindful of it. And we need to be mindful of removing it and cleansing it by going back to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. By going back to the lessons and the symbolic understanding of what Hajj is all about. And through that deep engagement with our tradition, with the principles of our faith, with the acts of worship that Allah has given us, perhaps then we will see that Islam really is the solution to the problem of race and racism. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts the way He purified the heart of Malcolm, who came from black supremacy, to say, no, we are all the same before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remove any ill feelings in our hearts for those of us who come from, for our brothers and sisters who come from a different race a different ethnicity, a different nationality. Whatever that difference may be, it is superficial. Except, like I said, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our only gauge of success is taqwa. May Allah make us amongst the muttaqeen. May Allah make us amongst those who are righteous. Subhanahu rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.